welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. Mark Levenier, your host for this hour of Westerns. Later in the hour, it's The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart, but first The Cisco Kid, an episode called Brazos Rodeo, a syndicated episode from 1951.
Amigos, this is the Cisco Kid. Come ride with Pancho and me on this exciting adventure, which we have called Brazos Rodeo. Rodeos are the outgrowth of early day Western roundups. They were known as a cowboy reunion, stampede, roundup, cowboy tournament, frontier days, and carnival. One such carnival was held in the town of Brazos, Texas. Two sinister hombres approached the corral where the unbroken livestock was penned.
I'll show you which bronc I'm talking about, Ed.
Yeah, lucky for me, you've been following the pitching stock they're using for this carnival, Lou.
I followed the broom tails and the steers they're going to use from Childress to Sweetwater to Lubbock and then to Plainview and here. I know exactly the way each and every one of them cayuses is going to pitch.
Hey, you've been planning this murder a long time.
Ain't going to be a murder, Ed. Going to be an accident. Oh, you. Oh.
Move up there, Hoobo.
That buckskin bronc with the black stripe along his spine and the claw-like stripes around the cannon. He's going to be responsible for the accident.
Hey, sure has a wild eye.
Yeah. He's going to give the Cisco Kid the wildest ride any hombre ever took. A ride that'll end in death.
Yeah, how are you going to do it?
I'm not. You are.
Me?
Yeah, you see, you're contesting against Cisco on the bronc riding. Yeah. You'll get the chance to fix the saddle they put on the buckskin.
Fix it? And how?
With his spur rowel.
Well, let's see that.
I took it off an old pair of spurs.
Sure is a small rowel. Hey, points as sharp as a knife.
I filed them down so they would be.
So what do you want me to do with it?
Well, I'll have to put a blind on the buckskin and ear him down to put the saddle on him.
Well, I figured they would. He ain't called a buckskin tiger for nothing.
Make sure you're helping with the saddle and flip the rowel under the saddle before he thinks. He'll do the rest.
Yeah, but how can you be certain?
That outlaw bronc tries to tromp on every rider he pitches off. What'll he do after the pain of that rowel bites into him?
Probably smash Cisco's face to a pulp.
Yeah, and it'll be an accident. There ain't no way the law can possibly blame us for the death of the Cisco Kid.
We soon be in Brazos, Cisco.
We made pretty good time traveling, Pancho. We did not have to push the horses too hard.
Oh, Pancho, hope we be in time for the bucking horses and the steel roping contest they got there.
I think we will. The contests are not held until after the fall roundup.
See? Pancho anxious to see that the new bucking horse they got in this part of the country. Pancho here, no one able to ride him.
I think they call him the Buckskin Tiger.
See, Buckskin Tiger. And from what Pancho hear, he be a killer.
Yeah, he's too bad.
What is too bad, Cisco?
Derek Caballo should be handled in such a bad manner that he turns into a killer.
Well, if Pancho know who the hombre would make that horse a killer, Pancho let him feel a bullwhip.
Yeah, there's very little chance you'll find out who is responsible, Chico.
And Pancho give it to him again.
Careful, Pancho. You'll frighten the horses pulling that buckboard over there.
And
help! Help! The horses are running away!
Hold back on the reins, senorita. Up,
go! Go, 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 go! She not even tried to stop that team, Cisco.
You should have been more careful with that bullwhip, Pancho.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, that senorita dropped the reins altogether, and she faint.
Pass it, Diablo. Come on, ha! Now, Diablo.
Oh, bueno, Cisco. Good job.
Oh, come on. Hold on. Hold on.
Oh, 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 oh.
Andre, Pancho. Lift the senorita at the buckboard. See if you can bring her, too.
Pancho, don't do this, Cisco. Oh, los caballos, so they not run away again.
I will take care of the caballos. You take care of the senorita.
Madre mía. This senorita fat and heavy, Cisco. She weigh more than Pancho. Oh, Chico, Pancho, not to carry her. Oh, Pancho got to drag her off the box, boss. There. Oh. Oh. Chihuahua. Oh. The senorita, she knocked the breath out of Pancho when she fell on him.
Send the senorita with your sombrero while I get the canteen.
Chihuahua, okay, yeah.
She moving, Cisco. But Pancho thinks she's coming, too.
Oh.
Careful, Pancho. You will hit her with the brim of your sombrero.
Oh.
Oh, she opened her eyes, Cisco.
Oh. Where am I? Oh, those runaway horses. You all stopped them. You all saved poor little old me.
Oh, no, no, senorita. Pancho not...
You are doing more harm than good with that sombrero, Pancho. Unless you hold it farther away from the senorita's face.
Nonsense. Why, I do declare he's holding it just right. You all keep doing just like y'all. It feels wonderful.
But you all right now, senorita, and...
Here, senorita. Have a drink from the canteen.
I don't need it. Oh, keep fanning my fevered brow with your hat, please.
Maybe if you take a drink from the canteen, you feel better sooner, huh?
Whatever you all say.
Here is the canteen, Pancho.
Gracias. Here, senorita.
Ah, I do believe I feel better. Little old me feels so safe here in the protection of your big, strong arms.
But
I don't ever want to get up.
Well, it's not what you think, senorita. You see, she's...
Never mind about it, Pancho.
Like all heroes, you're modest. Y'all don't even want to take credit for saving my little old life.
That is right, senorita. Pancho is modest.
We sure have the company.
Three riders.
Pancho help you up, senorita. Cisco, you better help Pancho to help the senorita.
There you are, senorita.
Oh, thank you, Pancho. Oh, yeah, thank you, too.
Uncle, are you all right?
Senorita Judy. It's Senorita Judy Connors, Pancho.
Oh,
gee.
Cisco, Pancho. Whoa, boys, whoa.
Oh, Caillou, whoa.
Whoa there, whoa.
Oh, why didn't you tell me you were coming, Cisco?
Oh, come now, Senorita Judy. Do not pretend to be so surprised. You know Pancho and I come to Brazos every year at Roundup time.
Y'all never mentioned these two gentlemen to little old me, Judy.
Oh, no. Who do you think I've been talking about all this time? And why do you think I got that new dress?
Oh, but why didn't you mention their names?
This is one of my very best friends, Opal. This is the Cisco Kid. And this is Pancho.
Oh, land sakes alive, I know Pancho.
And this is my cousin, Opal Jean Burkhalter, from Columbus, Georgia.
I remember your padre speaking of her, Senorita Judy. Pleased to make your acquaintance, Senorita Opal.
How do you do? And I'm undeniably charmed to meet little old you all, Pancho.
Pancho pleased acquaintance you too, Senorita Burkhalter.
Oh, mercy me. Y'all can call me Opal, Pancho, honey. And you know what I'm going to call you all?
No, what all?
I'll call you all Pancho.
And I'm calling for the money, if you don't mind, Judy.
Oh, I almost forgot, Ed. Cisco, this is Ed Williams, my new foreman. You know Lou Johnson.
Yeah, Cisco and I got good cause to know each other, Judy.
Well, why not forgetting that bygones be bygones, Senor Lou?
I will, after we settle the score between us. I aim to see you paid in full.
What's all this about?
I suppose Johnson means the fight we had last year after the carnival.
You suppose right.
I'll never get that prize money to the committee unless I leave Pronto.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Why, I put it here in the buckboard myself. Opal, do you know what happened to that package wrapped in the plain brown paper?
Well, no, Judy, honey. It was in the back of the buckboard with the other things y'all want me to take into town.
Well, maybe the package you looked for fall out of the buckboard when the horses is run away.
Well, of course. What must have happened, Judy.
The horses ran away?
See, Senorita Judy, I think they became frightened when Pancho cracked his fool whip.
Now, don't y'all go to blaming Pancho. He saved my little old life.
Well, then that package of money should be back along the road. Come on, Ed. We'll go pick it up.
Yeah, I'll be right with you, Luke. Oh, don't pay no attention to Lou, Cisco. He's a sore head, but he'll get over it. Get up there. Get up there.
How much money did you have in the package, Senorita Judy?
A little over $2,000, Cisco. It's the prize money for the bronc riding and steer roping event.
Well, how you happen to have it, Senorita Judy?
Well, seeing how my ranch is one of the largest, the other ranches elected me treasurer after they'd contributed, too.
How about Ed Williams? Do you completely trust him?
I wouldn't keep him for my foreman if I didn't, Cisco. Why?
I was thinking Poncho and I should ride along to make sure the money is found.
Well, that's a good idea, Cisco. Steady, Loco, steady.
I still do not trust Lou Johnson.
Oh, surely you can't think he'd steal that money when Ed is with him.
A little precaution does no harm.
I think you're being spiteful, Cisco. I think you're trying to get back at Lou for the way he acted.
I'm sorry you feel that way, Senorita. I still have to do what I think is right. Up, girl. Come on.
Go, 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 go.
Cisco! Cisco!
Hey, Ed. There's the money.
Yeah, that brown package in the road. That's got to be.
Yeah.
Whoa, you. Whoa, whoa up there.
I can lean down from the saddle and pick it up to stay on your horse.
Hey. Here comes your friend, the Cisco Kid, and his partner.
Too bad. No time to hide this money in the last...
What?
Here.
What?
You hang on to this package. Don't let them see me slip it to you.
All right, I got it.
Now,
what are you going to do?
Make Cisco and Poncho follow me while you hide that money.
Mm-hmm.
Stay where you are till I draw them off.
Get up! Hey, Lou, please, where are you going?
Was that Johnson hombre running away, Cisco?
After him, we're going to catch him, Poncho.
You sure can, you wall-eyed vinegaroon, because I want you to.
Now, Cisco, drag him off that horse.
Hold on your feet, hombre.
Not to try to go for it. You're gone, Poncho. Got you covered.
What in thunder are you chasing me for?
Senorita Judy's money? What is it?
Search me? How do I know?
Just what I will do. Search you.
You won't find it under me because I ain't got it. And you know I ain't. Because you two are guilty of taking that money yourselves.
Oh, you lie in your teeth, bandido.
You think I'm going to let you get away with this, Johnson?
Me get away with this? Let me tell you, Cisco. When them cowpokes in town find out you stole their prize money, they'll string you up to the branch of the highest cottonwood tree they can find. They'll hang you up by the neck till you're dead. And I'm going to help them.
That Lou Johnson coyote right, Cisco, for saying we the bandidos. Hit him again.
Get up on your feet, Maverick.
You yellow polecat.
Cisco, he go for his gun.
Finish the draw, Maverick. Go ahead.
Whoa. I'm surprised, Cisco. Surprised and disappointed.
All right, put up them shooting irons. No need for gunplay.
I want a straight answer to a straight question, Williams. Johnson does not have Senorita Judy's money. Do you?
Me? Hey, what are you trying to get away with?
Wait a minute, Cisco. What's this all about?
We not find your money, Senorita Judy. Either Lou Johnson or Ed Williams, they get to it first.
Now look, in a minute, I'm going to get mad.
No, Ed. Lou, do you know anything about the money?
Of course not, Judy. But Cisco here was...
You?
A word of honor, Judy. I never saw hiding a hair of it.
I'm sorry to have to do this, Cisco. But now I want a straight answer to a straight question.
You mean you think that Poncho and I may have taken your money?
Poncho surprised at you, Senorita Judy.
I haven't accused anyone, have I?
No, but...
Look, I'm responsible for that prize money. Since it's disappeared, I'm going to put up the $2,000 myself.
Senorita, if you were only...
Listen to me, Cisco. All four of you listen. I consider each of you as my friend. I feel certain that money's lost, or you turn it over to me. I'm hoping you'll look for it and find it. In the meantime, let's say nothing more about it.
Whatever you say, Judy.
I'm with you, Judy. But I ain't as good-natured as Ed. I owe you something for this, Cisco. Don't think I won't settle with you.
Anytime, Johnson.
Are you and Poncho coming into town with us, Cisco?
No, Senorita Judy. We will stay and look for your money. If you are right, we will find it.
Then I'll see you later. Get out!
Get up there.
Get out!
Hey, Senorita!
Hasta luego, Senorita. Do you really think we find that money out here, Cisco?
No, I do not, Poncho. But we will still search very fairly for it.
What Senorita Judy think about us is all wrong.
Just the same, she is putting up her money for the contest prize. We are on a bound to try to win every cent of that money so we can return it to her.
What about the two coyotes we think steal the money?
If we can prove they stole it, there will be a showdown. And it will end with those two mavericks in jail.
If Cisco not extra special careful, it end with Cisco getting a bullet in the back.
I bet you tied that steer in record time.
Yeah, I hope you're right, Ed.
Hey, folks, just a minute. Time for Lou Johnson in the steer tying event is a new record. Fastest time seen in this here corral.
Hey, you done it, Lou, you done it. I'd like to see Cisco beat that time.
He's taken first money in every event so far. He won't in this one.
Hey, he. The next roper up. There he goes toward the chute.
They won't cheer so much after they learn about the prize money. You got it on you?
Hey, shut up. Not so loud. You want somebody to hear you?
Well, can you pass that money to me without being seen?
Well, yeah, I reckon I can, but what for? I can hold on to it as well as you can.
I'm going
to
plant some of that money on Cisco's and Poncho's horses. In the saddlebags.
After all the trouble we took to steal it?
I don't want no argument from you, Ed. I want the money. Unless you want Judy to find out about the cattle you've been rustling from her.
All right. All right. Here you are. I'm going to be out $1,000. Just because you want to make sure Cisco ain't no hero after he's dead.
That's right. When Cisco's out of the way, there'll be nothing to stop me from marrying Judy. She'll remember him as the thief who stole the prize.
Yeah. Hey, look. There goes Cisco after that steer.
And that horse of his is mighty fast.
Yeah. He's got the steer. Oh, blast him. Mighty fast. Hey, look. He's already got the steer tied. No, Lou, I'm afraid he beat your time.
Hey, folks. Now, wait a minute, friends. That's two records you've seen broken here this afternoon. The Cisco Kid just beat Lou Johnson's time for the steel roping and tying event.
One first money again, huh? Well, the bronc riding's next, ain't it, Ed?
Mm-hmm.
You fix it so Cisco will draw the buckskin tiger to ride?
I sure did. That bronc will be crazy to kill Cisco after I slip this rowel under the saddle. Hey, here's Cisco now.
After the bronc riding, Johnson, you, Williams, and I are going to settle the matter of the missing prize money.
Yeah, it'll be settled, all right. It'll be settled because you'll be dead.
Look out, Cisco, that buckskin tiger, you'll hear off again.
Down to earth, Buck. Oh, God.
Hear him now, Cisco. Hang on to them ears.
Look at this guy. Got the hackamore over his head.
Oh, that won't hold him. Get him out.
Cisco. Pancho. Hold your neckerchief and use it as a blind to close his bronco's eyes.
Si, Cisco. Pancho, do it pronto.
Here. Let me put this war bridle on that killer. It'll bring him to his knees.
Save the war bridle for the horses you ride, Ed Williams. No need to be cruel to this galah.
You're trying to help, Cisco.
I noticed you helping with the saddle. I'm not grateful. Just keep away from here, Williams.
All right, whatever you say.
Well, now, Pancho, tie the blind around the caballo, son. There. He stands still as long as he not can see.
Bueno, give me the hackamore, Senor Corey.
Here it is, Cisco.
I get the hackamo over your head, Buck. Let go of your ears.
Oh, that dude does it. Oh, that buckskin tiger, he just stand there and he tremble.
Only until Cisco gets on his back and yanks that blind from his eyes. Then this gut-twisting outlaw will spin, sunface, and weave like nothing he ever saw before.
Well, I'm ready. Keep your sight. Stand clear, amigos.
Break a ring, Cisco!
What you say, Senor Corey?
You heard me. You ought to know all cowboys are superstitious. Wish them good luck, and the opposite's bound to happen. So break a ring, Cisco!
Well, then if that's the way to wish luck, good luck, watch if they break both legs in the next 2 days, go.
Glasses, amigos. Now for the blind. He's bleeding under the saddle. Must unload. He hurt. There. Hey, Pancho, shoot your rope. Rope the buckskin over it. Buckskin to the ground. Andre, stop.
I got a rope on him.
Pancho got a rope on him, too.
Hit the rope to the fence. We'll stretch him out.
Pancho got the rope to the fence, and you're calling.
Well, hold him now.
He didn't pick you off, Cisco. Why'd you jump off?
As soon as I get the buckskin tiger unfinished, I will show you. Come here. A sharp growl from his spur.
What do you know? How in thunder did that get there?
Ed Williams will give me the answer to that.
And I thought you jumped off him because you turned yellow. I'm sorry, Cisco.
Oh, Cisco, not afraid of nothing, Senor Corey.
If you vaqueros will cinch up the buckskin again, I'll finish my ride when I get back.
Oh, where you go, Cisco?
To find Ed Williams and Lou Johnson. When I do...
Yeah. There's going to be a fight, boys, and I ain't going to miss it. It'll be the fight of the century.
Sassafras and molasses. I tell you, I caught him, Judy. I caught that scoundrel, Lou Johnson, putting the prize money in Pancho's saddlebags.
I can't believe it, Opal, even though I see it with my own eyes.
Opal's mistaken, Judy. I was looking in Pancho's saddlebags and found the money.
Y'all did not, Lou Johnson. I saw y'all walk over to Pancho's horse after you got the package from Ed Williams.
Yeah, well, it's too bad you got such sharp eyes, Opal. You and Judy are gonna die.
Judy!
Put away that gun, Ed. I'm not afraid of you.
Ed, behind you!
Hey, Cisco!
I'm so terribly sorry. I thought that you...
You knock on both of those weasels, Cisco.
Man, oh, man, what a fight. Fast and furious.
You gentlemen, wait until I tell you all how Lou Johnson tried to put the blame on poor little old Pancho for that stolen prize money.
Oh, what stolen money?
I'll tell you all about that later. First, I've got to thank little old Pancho, honey, properly for saving my life.
But Senorita Opal, it's Cisco and not Pancho that...
Go ahead, Senorita Opal. How were you going to thank Pancho?
Why, comb phones and chitlins. I'm going to throw my arms around him and kiss him.
No, Senorita Opal. No, Cisco.
Pancho, honey, y'all wait for little old me.
Hey, what about the stolen prize money?
You think Opal will ever catch Pancho?
Not if Pancho can help it. Do you think those other hombres will catch up with your cousin Opal?
Not if Opal can help it. Oh, Cisco, I have an awful lot of explaining to do. I'm terribly sorry for the way I acted.
Save your explanations until after I ride the buckskin dagger, Senorita Judy.
Oh, if you're going to ride that outlaw again, I'd better wish you good luck.
You mean like the vaqueros do? By telling me to break a leg?
No, Cisco. I mean like this. Oh, Cisco.
Oh, Senorita. Pancho.
Pancho, proud of the way you ride that bronco, the buckskin tire. You win first prize money.
More important than that, we prove the horse is not an outlaw.
Pancho, think it more important we prove those outlaws, Williams and Johnson, guilty of the robbery.
Since we found out they were arresting Senorita Judy's cattle, you can be sure they will stay in jail for a long time.
Pancho afraid maybe Pancho have to go to jail to get away from that Senorita Opal.
Well, what is the matter with her, Pancho?
Oh, she's too fat. She's fatter than Pancho or Big Maria. That why Senorita Judy buy her the violin.
Oh, I did not know Senorita Opal plays the violin.
Oh, she not play the violin. She just needed for a place to rest her chin.
Oh, Pancho!
The Cisco Kid, untuned to yesterday, a syndicated broadcast of that very popular show at the time, as it was heard in 1951. You're listening to an hour of Westerns untuned to yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart and directed by Jack Johnstone, a well-known director during radio's golden era. His first appointment was with A Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall on CBS, and with that action-adventure series under his direction, he also worked for another network, ABC, and directed the Hollywood Star Playhouse, featuring drama, comedy, and more. This very versatile director brought his talents to The Six Shooter, where he directed just about every broadcast, including this next one, from Valentine's Day 1954 on NBC.
James Stewart as The Six Shooter. the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. Its handle unmarked. People call them both the six shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
I sure don't know where the town ever got that name. Quiet City. Every time I came through it, it was anything but quiet. In the old days, the Apaches were always stirring up trouble. After the Indians were moved onto the reservation, there was still plenty of excitement and all. It was shooting practically every weekend. At least that's how it was when I was here last. Of course, that was, about 4 or 5 years ago, I guess. And now the town did seem sort of different at first glance. Anyhow, there were 20 or 30 new houses along the side of the creek there. The main street was a good 4 blocks longer than what I remember. Quiet City sure was growing up. There couldn't be any doubt about that. I figured the population must have reached the 1,000 mark, maybe even higher. And all that growing made the place seem, kind of settled and businesslike. To tell you the truth, Quiet City was almost quiet. Anyhow, I headed Scar over to the hitching rail in front of the sheriff's office and pulled up. Whoa, boy. Whoa, Scar. Whoa. The door to the office was open.
Something I can do for you? Britt!
Hello, Hank. How are you?
Britt, you old son of a gun. Why didn't you let a body know you were heading this way?
Well, I didn't know it myself till last week. Tim Parker came into some property over by Fulton. He asked me to sit on it for a couple months till he could take charge.
Oh, Fulton, huh?
Yeah, it's real nice.
Farming land.
Hmm? Well, Tim wasn't certain.
That's all there is over that way now. There ain't no more ranches, Britt. Just farms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I guess this part of the country's changing.
Yeah, some, I reckon.
Mm-hmm. I sure wouldn't have recognized Quiet City, Hank. It's not a small town anymore, is it?
No, we've done our share of growing. There ain't no doubt about that.
Well, more than your share, I'd say.
But the people are the same, Britt. Oh, maybe they buy more ready-made clothes than they used to and send most of their kids to school, but that's just a skin change. Underneath, they ain't no difference.
Still giving you trouble, huh?
I've got them under a tight rein most of the time, but if I was to turn them loose, well, we'd be right back to where we was 20 years ago.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, I do. Mm-hmm. Well, what I mean is, Britt, you can't expect human nature to start improving overnight, you know.
Oh, that's true enough, yeah.
But some folks don't see it my way. They think that just because we've got churches and a schoolhouse and a railroad depot, we're like them towns back east, peaceful and half asleep, where all you need a sheriff for is to lock up the Saturday night drunks. Why, back there, they don't even call them sheriffs. They call them peace officers. Well, I ain't no peace officer. I'm a sheriff. And this is still the West.
Sure, Hank.
Just
that's
drop
right.
My guard once. That's all I'd need to do. They'd be killing each other right out there in the main street.
Yeah, well, I guess you'd be the best judge of that. How's Buzz? How's he?
Oh, about the same.
Yeah, full grown, I'll bet. How old is he now?
20, last birthday.
No.
Yeah, he's a big fella, too. 6'3".
Oh, well, taller than you are, huh?
An inch or so.
Uh-huh. You made him a deputy yet?
What are you talking about?
Well, you always said that when the time came, you were going to fix it so Buzz could just slide right into your boots. Don't you remember that?
Yeah, I remember. But sometimes things don't work out the way a man plans.
Oh?
You know, Buzz has got ideas of his own. Crazy fool ideas. I offered him a job working with me, but he wouldn't have none of it. He's aiming to leave Quiet City.
Oh, is that so?
And you know why, Britt? So's he can go to school.
Uh-huh, I say.
It ain't as if I didn't see to it that he got his learning. I promised his ma before she died promised her I'd see that he was brung up right. And I kept my word, too. I sent him the very first day Jane Weatherby started teaching. I didn't take him out when he'd learned to just read and write and figure. No, I let him keep on till he got his diploma. I guess that's where I was wrong. I should have took him out before he got too smart for his own good.
Oh, now, heck, now. The more education a man gets, the better he's off.
I ain't so sure of that. Life ain't in books. How much schooling did you have?
Well, a little more wouldn't have done me any harm.
You've made out all right, and so have I. So would Buzz if he'd come to his senses and stay here where he belongs.
When's he leaving?
Oh, he was getting his things together when I left the house this morning. Maybe he's gone by now for all I know.
Oh, no, he wouldn't do that, not without saying goodbye to you.
Britt.
Yeah?
I was just thinking. If Buzz still is here, he hasn't left yet. Maybe you could talk.
Oh, now, hold on.
He won't listen to me, Britt.
No,
but
no.
If you was to...
Hello, Pa.
What do you want, Buzz?
Well, I'd like to speak to you if you're not too busy, that is.
For a minute, Heck didn't answer. He just stared at the leather satchel in his son's hand. Buzz was a big fellow, all right. Husky, plenty of muscles. But somehow his face didn't match his body, especially his eyes. They were kind of tired-looking. And he kept blinking as though he wasn't used to the daylight. And there were wrinkles in his forehead, too. Not the kind you get from riding against the sun. Just little creases that made him look older than he really was.
Well, Buzz, with all your fancy education, ain't you got manners enough to speak to Britt Ponsett?
Oh, I'm sorry I didn't recognize you. It's been quite a spell.
Well, I can't say I blame you, Buzz. I wouldn't have known you in a month of Sundays. Well, if you'll excuse me, I...
No, there's no reason for you to go, Britt. I just wanted to tell Pa goodbye. I'm taking the 4 o'clock train east, Pa.
I see.
Well, I'll be back someday.
That's mighty considerate of you.
Well, so long.
Just you hold up a minute, young fella. You won't pay no attention to me, I know that. Well, Britt here ain't got no axe to grind. If he says you're loco, if he says you're going off on a wild goose chase, maybe then you'll...
Now, Heck, this isn't any of my concern, and even if it was...
You ain't heard it all, Britt. You don't know what he aims to do with his extra schooling. A lawyer. That's what he wants to be.
Oh?
That's what I'm going to be, Pa.
Tell him the rest of it, Buzz. Tell him how you're going to come back here and practice law. Ain't that rich, Britt? Quiet City is going to have a full-fledged lawyer.
Look, Pa, do we have to go all over that again?
Why, you'll be the laughingstock. This town ain't got no use for a lawyer. Never will have. A sheriff. That's what the town will need, a new sheriff. I ain't getting any younger, Britt. First thing you know, I'll be 60. A 60-year-old sheriff won't be able to hold folks in check. Not for long.
Yeah, sure, they'll need a new sheriff, and I'm sorry that I'm just not the man for the job.
You could be that man if you wanted
to. Yes, but I don't want to, Pa. I want to be a lawyer, and I'll be more used to the town that way.
Ah.
Oh, look, you've got to understand, these are different times.
What's so different about them?
Everything. You think we're still living on the frontier. You think that star in your vest and that six-gun in your holster is still the only law around here. Well, you're wrong, Pa. You're dead wrong. This isn't the frontier anymore. You're not the law. You're just supposed to carry it out.
Ain't that what I've been doing all these years?
Pa, look, I'm not saying that your way isn't what the town needed once, but your job is done. You can't expect me to take up where you left off. I'm not you, Pa. This isn't the same town it was. These people aren't the same ones who settled here 20 years ago.
Britt, you see what I mean, Britt?
Well, maybe he's right, eh?
You think everything's changed, too?
Well, some things, anyway.
What about folks themselves, deep down inside? They're still the same. Some of them are decent and law-abiding, and others as mean as the devil and always will be.
You just won't believe the town's civilized now, will you?
You'll see how civilized it is when the chips are down. You'll see, Mr. Lawyer.
Well, looks like we just don't agree, Pa, and we never will, so... Nice seeing you again, Britt.
Yeah, good seeing you, Bud.
So long, Pa. Good luck.
Hey, Buzz, that old man there?
Yeah, he's here, Doc.
Tell him to get out to James Martin's place. There's been a shooting. Pipe Clamper done it. Folks say the Jace is hurt bad. Now tell your
pawn
to get right out there.
Okay, Doc, I tell him.
There you are. That's how much Quiet City has changed, Buzz. Folks still shooting each other, still taking the law in their own hands. Sure are civilized, ain't they?
I'll go with you, Pa.
What for? So as you can advise Pipe Clamper of his lawful rights when I arrest him? Get out of my way, Buzz. I've got work to do.
Ain't been a shooting, Brett, for over 2 years now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I reckon there's been one today.
Yep. Looks like Pa was right. All my talk about this town growing up, it's just what it was, talk.
Maybe so.
Well, I better get over to Jason Norton's and see if Pa needs help. He's not as young as he used to be if he tries to take Pipe Clamper alone.
Well, do you think he'd let you help him even if he needed it?
No, I guess he wouldn't. But somebody... Brett?
No, he wouldn't appreciate me interfering in his business either.
Well, now, if you just happen to be riding out east of town, sort of stopped off.
East, huh?
Yeah. The Norton Ranch right next to old Ms. Bradley's place.
Oh, is that so?
Mm-hmm.
That's so, huh? Well, that's quite a coincidence.
Oh?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was figuring on dropping in on Maddie Bradley before I left town. Maybe have supper with her if she invited me.
It's getting on toward supper now.
Oh, you don't say. Time sure does fly, doesn't it? Heck was standing on the front porch of Jace Norton's house when I rode in the yard, and there was a woman sitting on a rocking chair talking to him. Her face was dead white, just like all the blood had been drained out of her cheeks. For a minute or so, Heck just stood there nodding. Then he shifted his weight and noticed me out of the corner of one eye.
Come on up, Brett.
Easy, boy. Easy. I was just on my way over to Miss Bradley's. I thought...
This is Britt Ponsett, Mrs. Norton.
Ponsett.
I'm pleased to meet you, ma'am. I sure hope your husband is...
Jace is dead.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am.
Pipe Clamper murdered him. I seen him do it. I seen it all through the kitchen window.
I'm sorry.
How did it start, Mabel?
They's arguing about some cows that had strayed onto our land. Pipe said Jace was trying to steal them, that he'd fixed her fences so they'd come through. But it wasn't true, Sheriff. It wasn't true.
Sure.
Jace was aiming to take the cows back. He told me at breakfast this morning I've got to run some of Pipe's cattle back to him. That's what Jay said at breakfast this morning. Hadn't had time to do it yet. Been busy with chores and things. Mare was foaling. Jay's hadn't had time, but he was going to take him back. He told me so.
No. Don't get yourself all upset, Mabel.
I heard them quarreling out and back, Pipe and Jay's. I didn't think nothing of it. Pipe's always quarreling with everybody. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
And the next thing I knew, I heard a shot. I thought Pipe was just trying to scare Jace. Until I saw Jace fall down.
Pipe right off toward his own place?
No. Toward the canyon. Over that way. I remember asking myself why is Pipe heading toward the canyon. His ranch is the other way. It just hadn't dawned on me yet. What he'd done, that he was running away.
Yes. Well, it's turning chilly. You better go inside now, Mabel.
Yeah?
Doc Anderson is sending somebody out to fix supper and stay with you tonight.
You'll find Pipe, Sheriff. You'll find him. Bring him back.
Sure, I'll find him. You want me to help you up?
I can manage.
Here we are. That's there.
I'm pleased to have met you, Mr. Ponsett.
Thank you, ma'am.
I've heard of you, haven't I?
He's the six-shooter, Mabel.
Six-shooter?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course, that's why. I'm glad you're here, Mr. Ponsett. I'm glad you're going with the sheriff. I wouldn't want Pat to kill somebody else. Even if he wasn't punished for what he did to Jason. I wouldn't want there to be another killing. I'm glad you're going with the sheriff.
Well, looks like I've got me a deputy after all.
Now, Buzz was willing to come, Hack. He wanted to.
I'd rather have you, Britt. Let's go.
Well, we picked up Pipe Clamper's trail about sundown. At least it was the only fresh trail heading toward the canyon, so we figured Pipe had made it. The next couple of hours was pretty dark, so we had to move slow, keeping our eyes glued to the ground. Then along about 8 o'clock, the moon came out, and we could make better time. We were in the canyon now. The way the hoof marks were spaced, we could tell that Pipe's horse was getting tired, and Pipe had to be forced to ride a little easier.
Looks like we might be gaining on him, Britt.
Yeah. Any place around here he could hole up?
An old trading post about a mile ahead. Been deserted since the Indians have moved south. He could be there.
Uh-huh.
Britt.
Yeah?
Maybe you think it's funny I wanted you to go along with me tonight, but... Well, it's not that I couldn't bring Pipe Clamper in alone, but there's more to it than that. It's when we get back to town, that's when I'll need you.
Oh?
You see, Jason Norton was a well-liked man. He lived in Quiet City, practically from the very beginning. Everybody knew him. Everybody liked him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But nobody has any use for Pipe Clamper. Like I told you, some fellows are just mean. Pipe's one of them. Anyway, what I'm getting at is this. Jason has a brother, Abe Norton. And he'll be fighting mad when he finds out what happened today. He'll be killing mad. And the whole town will go along with them.
Mm-hmm. You mean they might try and lynch Pipe? Huh?
They'll try.
Uh-huh. Well, you can't be certain of that, Hank.
I know the town, Britt. There hasn't been any trouble for 2 years. And that's a long time. A lot of pressure builds up in 2 years. Now, Jace's murder, that'll set folks off. I hope you'll be willing to give me a hand.
Well, you know I'll do what I can, Hank.
It's him, Britt. He's up there behind the tree.
Well, the bullet smashed into Heck's leg and tore him right out of the saddle. I dived off Scar and took cover behind a rock. There was a clump of trees hanging to the side of the canyon about 100 yards ahead. I could make out something that looked like a building with a carved totem pole out in front of it. I figured that was the trading post Heck had been telling us about, but the shots weren't coming from inside. Whoever was firing was using the Indian post for a shield.
You all right, Heck?
It's just my leg, Britt. Afraid I can't move it, though.
Well, I'll get over to you.
No. You stay where you are. I'm out of his range. There's a tree between me and him. But it looks like you'll have to take him, Britt. I said I wouldn't need you till we got back to town, but it looks like...
It sounded like Heck had passed out. I raised my head up to the edge of the boulder. When I couldn't see Heck, there was a great big fir tree right in front of him. Well, that meant Pipe Clamper couldn't see him either. He sure could see me, though. That moonlight was just pouring down on that rock where I was hiding, and if I so much as moved, I was right in plain sight. I waited a couple minutes. I hadn't done any firing yet. Maybe he'd think I was hit. Maybe he'd come over after me. Yeah, that was my best chance. I listened hard. I couldn't hear anything. He was still behind that totem pole, still playing it safe. As long as the moon kept me pinpointed, I looked up in the sky just in time to see a great big cloud float toward the orange circle over my head. A big white cloud, big enough to give me a minute of dark. It was still moving, sweeping across the stars now. And then it hit the edge of the moon. I swung out from behind the rock and I headed toward the trees between me and the trading post. Pipe heard me all right. Not in time, though. Not until I was up beside one of the trees, about 30 yards from where he was waiting. And the sky was beginning to whiten up now, and I saw Pipe's arm inching around the edge of the totem pole.
I knew a slug in his arm wasn't going to be enough. I pushed up onto my haunches and I ran forward. He raised his gun, ready to get off another shot. I twisted one side and let fire. His shot was close, but he missed me. Well, I hadn't done much better. I crawled along, keeping myself as flat as I could, moving real slow. Not more than a foot every 2 or 3 minutes, and straining my ears, trying to hear him breathe. He was only about 10 feet away now. And there weren't any more trees between us, just open space. I pressed my belly down into the dirt. My gun just poking up just an inch or so. Just enough so that... And then I saw his gun. A little beam of moonlight bounced off the barrel. And I saw the shadow of his head easing across the ground beside that totem pole.
Drop it, Pipe.
What?
Now get in your feet.
He stood up. And his face came into the moonlight, and he took a step forward. And then his left hand jerked out toward me. My bullet hit his shoulder and spun him around, and he crashed into the totem pole. And for a second, I thought it was going to topple over with him, but it held firm.
What? Britt.
Good morning, Hank.
Morning.
It's almost noon, as a matter of fact. Doc Anderson said you ought to be coming too about now.
My leg.
Oh, it's going to be all right. I'll be all right. Doc says for you just not to fuss about it. It'll be all right.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing me home, Britt. I don't know how you manage, but...
Hello, Pa. How you feeling?
Fine, Buzz. Just first rate. I see you didn't leave town.
Nope, didn't leave.
Well, I guess maybe what Pipe done wasn't all of the bad. Not if it brung you to your senses. Something, anyhow. You killed him, Britt?
No. He's kind of worse for wear, but he'll be patched up in time for a trial.
Mm. Well, where is he?
The doc's looking after him.
You mean he ain't in jail? You mean nobody's guarding but Doc Anderson?
Well, we weren't very worried about him running off.
That ain't what I'm talking about. Britt, I told you what had happened. I told you what Jace Norton's brother would do.
Oh, that. Well, you see, heck, Abe Norton's already been around. He's gone back to his ranch now.
Gone back?
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, folks just wouldn't pay any attention to him. Oh, sure, they all feel real bad about Jace, like you said they would, and they all think that Pipe deserves a hanging, but they're pretty convinced that's what the judge will give him.
The judge? Oh, but that don't make sense.
Well, it's the truth, Pa. Everybody's satisfied that there'll be a fair trial and that Pipe will get what's coming to him.
Why, in the old days, they wouldn't have stood still for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess these aren't the old days.
Then Buzz was right. That talk about Quiet City being civilized?
Don't fret yourself about it now, Pa.
Oh, it just don't seem possible. This ain't the same town. These folks ain't the same. Well, what happened to them, Britt?
Oh, I don't know. I guess maybe a town grows up just like a person, Hank. And I guess maybe you had something to do with it, too.
Me?
Mm-hmm. You see, somebody taught him to respect the law and to try to live up to it. And if it wasn't you, I sure don't know who it was. Well, Buzz stayed around Quiet City until Heck was on his feet again. And then Heck himself sent the boy east to college. That was, three, 4 years ago, I guess. The last time I was through that way, Buzz had come home. You see, Buzz was running for county attorney.
Yes, sir. And the way Heck was managing his campaign, well, if that election didn't turn out to be a landslide, I sure missed my guess.
Until recent years, misconceptions prompted many to feel that a diagnosis of heart disease was a death sentence. But today, thanks to medical science and the educational work of your Heart Association, we are learning that most people with heart disease can work and lead happy lives. But the real answer to heart disease lies in heart research and community heart programs, which can be expanded through your continued support of the Heart Fund. This is not only Valentine's Day, but it's Heart Sunday. So make it a point to give to your local Heart Association now. And remember, when you help your Heart Fund, you help your heart. The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions.
The Six Shooter on Tuned to Yesterday from February 14, 1954 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBounier. Thanks for tuning in.